వాసుదేవాయ క్యాంటర్ 3 చాప్టర్ 8 టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 23
మృణాలగౌరాయత శేష భోగ
పర్యంక ఏకం పురుషం శయానం ఫణాత పత్రాయుతమూర్ధరత్న ద్యుభిర్హత ద్వాంత యుగాంతతోయే లోటస్ ఫ్లవర్ గౌర వైట్ ఆల్ ఓవర్ ఆయత జయజాంతి శేష భోగ బాడీ ఆఫ్ శేషనాగ పర్యంకే ఆన్ ద బెడ్ ఏకం అలోన్ పురుషం ద సుప్రీం పర్సన్ శయానం వాస్ లయింగ్ ఫణ ఆతపత్ర అంబ్రెల్లా ఆఫ్ అ సర్పెంట్ హుడ్ ఆయుత డిటెక్ట్ విత్ మూర్ధ హెడ్ రత్న జ్యువెల్స్ ద్యుభి బై ద రేస్ హతద్వాంత డార్క్నెస్ డిసిపేటెడ్ యుగ అంత డివాస్టేషన్ తోయే ఇన్ ద వాటర్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఎస్ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాద్ శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్ కి Brahma could see that on the water there was a gigantic lotus like white bedstead, the body of Sheshanaga, on which the personality of Godhead was lying alone. The whole atmosphere was illuminated by the rays of the jewels bedecking the hood of Sheshanaga, and that illumination dissipated all the darkness of those regions. No purport here, so we'll go to text 24.
Prekshan chipantam haritopaladrehe sandhyabrani var nive rurukma murdhne murdhnaha ratno dadharau shadisau manasya vanasrajo venu bhujangri pangre.
The lustre of the transcendental body of the Lord mocked the beauty of the coral mountains. The coral mountain is very beautifully dressed by the evening sky, but the yellow dress of the Lord mocked its beauty. There is gold on the summit of the mountain, but the Lord's helmet, bedecked with jewels, mocked it. The mountains, waterfalls, herbs, etc., with a panorama of flowers, seem like garlands. But the large gigantic body and his hands and legs, decorated with jewels, pearls, tulasi leaves and flower garlands, mocked the scene on the mountain. Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, His Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The panoramic beauty of nature, which strikes one with wonder, may be taken as a perverted reflection of the transcendental body of the Lord. One who is therefore attracted by the beauty of the Lord is no longer attracted by the beauty of material nature, although he does not minimize its beauty. In Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter, 59th verse, it is described that one who is attracted by Param, the Supreme, is no longer attracted by anything inferior.
Om Ajnanatamirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः।
हरे राम हरे राम
राम राम हरे हरे।
This is a very beautiful verse from this chapter, manifestation of Brahma from Vishnu. See, there is a beautiful analogy here of beauty of a mountain compared to the beauty of Lord Vishnu, who is lying in Anantashesha. Such a beautiful explanation. He says here, the luster of the transcendental body of Lord Vishnu, what is the luster? It is bluish. It marked the beauty of the coral mountain. Sometimes a mountain is also bluish. Like the gopis saw the tamal tree, which was bluish in color. So seeing tamal tree with its large branches from a distance, the gopis felt it is Krishna standing there. And when there was a forest buffalo, I don't know what you call it. So they were, suddenly they saw that forest animal coming running, so they immediately went and took shelter of the tree, tamal tree. So tamal tree is bluish in complexion and appeared like Krishna for them. Because a devotee, whatever the devotee may see, it reminds a devotee of Krishna. Like you see, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeing the Chataka Parvata, which is actually a sand dune. It is simply a sand dune. How can one see Krishna by looking at a sand dune? But when he saw the sand dune, it reminded him of Govardhan Parvat. Immediately Lord Chaitanya ran behind the sand dune. It's very dangerous to run behind a sand dune because sometimes one may get submerged in the quicksand and heaps of truckloads of sand may come on you, and in this way one may perish. It's very, very risky. But Lord Chaitanya ran, and behind him Govinda ran, behind him Bhagavan Acharya ran with his limping feet. Behind him all the other associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramayi, Nandayi, everybody ran behind. Even Paramananda Puri, who was at a distance, he saw this whole pastime and he also came behind along with all the devotees. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing the sand dune, calling as Govardhan, Govardhan, at one point of time he became frozen. And his whole body was emitting perspiration, drops of perspiration, beautiful perspiration. And he fell on the ground. While running, he was singing this famous song. Hantaya madri avalam haridasa varyo yadrama krishna charana sparsha pramoda manam tanoti sahagogana yona yoyas paniya suya vasakandara kandamulah. There he is saying, yad rama krishna charana sparsha pramoda. Very simple meaning. The lotus feet of Krishna and Ram. Who is that Ram? Balram. Is imprinted on the top of Govardhan Hill. And that is actually like a decoration or like an ornament for the Govardhan Hill. So he is saying, you are decorated by the beautiful lotus footprints of Krishna and Balram. And you are the topmost of amongst all the Haridasa. So you are called Haridasa Varya. So calling like this, this is actually a song sung by the gopis. So Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, was singing this poetry and ran behind that parvat. So he fell unconscious, and then Govinda went and sprinkled some water on his face and massaged his body. Then Mahaprabhu slowly got up. And at first he saw the Vaishnavas, but then he saw Paramananda Puri. He felt very ashamed. Such a senior personality like Paramananda Puri came. He asked, why did you come here? He said, I have come to see the beauty of your devotion to Krishna. He said. So Mahaprabhu felt even more shy. So, in this way, in many pastimes of Mahaprabhu we find, devotees, whatever they see it in relation to Krishna. Here also, he is looking at a mountain and describing one-to-one analogy of how this beautiful big mountain is comparing this mountain to Lord Vishnu's body. So he's saying, the lustre of the transcendental body of the Lord marked the beauty of coral mountain. The coral mountain is very beautifully dressed by the evening sky. So what is the dress of the mountain? Evening sky. That's the dress of the mountain. Like in our NBCC temple, if you see there, all the mountains, behind the mountains you can find the evening, you know, twilight sky. And what is the color of that sky? Bluish? No. Twilight sky. It is Krishna's dhoti color. What is color of Krishna's dhoti? Yellowish, yeah. Yellowish and orangish. So that is what for the mountain? Dress for the mountain. Like that he is saying. But the yellow dress of the Lord marked its beauty. That means the Lord's dress is more attractive than the yellow sky enveloping the mountain. Sometimes people click a photograph of setting sun between two mountains. You seen that? Isn't it? Or setting sun in a ocean. They take them. Which goes to show even they are attracted. People are attracted. Why they click such photos and put big wallpapers in their rooms? Isn't it? It's very attractive. But Lord's dhoti was more attractive. There is gold on the summit of the mountain, but the Lord's helmet, bedecked with jewels, mocked it. So Lord has a beautiful jeweled helmet. You have seen our Balaji wearing a beautiful helmet. Not like our helmet. Not like this. Lord's helmet is mukut. Very beautiful. So if you go to Tirupati Balaji also, very beautiful. So that mukut is compared to what? The gold on the summit of the mountain. So Lord's helmet was more beautiful, he says. The mountain's waterfalls. You have to visualize it in your mind when you hear this. Unfortunately, we are in the heart of the city. We don't get to see waterfalls so much. Except in some video clips or something. Or occasionally if you go to this Dudh Sagar and on the way to Madgaon. You've seen Dudh Sagar? There's a station called Dudh Sagar. If you are passing through the train, you can hear a big sound. It's almost like Niagara Falls. Especially in rainy season, if you see. I was wondering, are we in this world or some heavenly planets or something? Because you peep out of the window, you find huge mountain from the top, thick jet water coming down. It's like milk, whitish like milk, foaming water. It comes from the top. So, of course, here he's talking of a waterfall, which is thin waterfall, which is like a garland for the mountain, which means sometimes you all have seen in a mountain on different places the waterfalls are coming. So that is compared to the garland. So the mountain is wearing a garland. Garland of what? Waterfalls, yeah. But the Lord's gigantic body means you can think of Balaji. Kunjaberi has a very slim body. So the Lord's gigantic body and his hands and legs decorated with jewels, pearls, tulasi leaves, and flower garlands mocked the scene on the mountain. See? Comparison. So, by seeing, looking at the mountain with its beautiful waterfalls and herbs and trees and plants forming like a garland, seeing the gold on the top of the mountain like a mukut. So, the description is given here, a one-to-one comparison. Like we were in Tirupati temple. One devotee was telling, we were standing at the foot of the Tirupati hill in the ISKCON temple, and from there we were watching the huge mountain, the seven mountains you have seen, on the top where Balaji is standing in the top. So these mountains, I heard, they extend for some 160 kilometers or so. Do you know that? It's like a continuous long range of mountains. So one devotee was telling, just see how formidable how distant and how divine. How it looks. Very meaningful statement. It looks formidable, means, you know, nobody can consider the magnificence. Nobody can get near it anywhere. And it is divine because it is the divine serpent of Lord Vishnu. The mountain is also called as Ananta. It's Lord Ananta Shesh. That is why Ramanujacharya refused to climb up on the mountain, according to the Sri Vaishnava sentiment. So, of course, different acharyas have sentiments. Like our Madhavendra Puri had a sentiment for our Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had a sentiment of not climbing. After the Madhavendra Puri, the festival took place, you know, for the Gopal. So Lord Chaitanya was very eager to go and take darshan, but he had a sentiment of not climbing on Govardhan. Then Gopal arranged for some kind of rumor spread around that Muslim soldiers are around. There may be a danger for Gopal. So immediately devotees brought the Lord down. Then Lord Chaitanya took darshan. After that it was come known to all the people. It was just simply a rumor. And again Lord went up, stayed in the temple. So in this way Lord especially came to give darshan to Lord Chaitanya. So there in South India, in Tirupati, that mountain is considered the body of Ananta on which Lord Vishnu is standing. So very formidable. So there the description is not just the mountain is looking very beautifully like a snake or something like that. Those who are very advanced, they can see him as Lord Ananta. Whereas here, he is just seeing an ordinary mountain with a golden summit on the top, with water, waterfalls coming, with flowers and leaves and greenery in the rivers. So seeing that, he considers it like tulasi leaves. And the waterfalls like a beautiful garland. And the setting sun in the back creates a beautiful yellow sky, like the dress for the bluish mountain. And the bluish mountain is compared to the body of the Lord, which is like a bluish sapphire, very beautiful looking. So, you will find in Srimad Bhagavatam many beautiful analogies like this. A devotee is not stereotyped or hackneyed or mechanical or monotonous. A devotee can see the nature and learn so many lessons from nature. In this world, anything that happens, any natural event happens around us, the devotee can pick some lessons, learn from it. like you know, one devotee was telling, Lord has kept two eyes for us. Why? He has kept the two eyes here, so we can always look ahead and not look behind and worry about the past. He said, always look ahead. So, you will find so many lessons are there in the Shastra. Like, you know, Lord has given us two ears and one tongue, which means we should be eager to listen and learn than to just keep speaking. So, when we study the nature around, we can surely learn lessons like the 24 gurus that Avadhuta Brahman. So I had a question, how can he accept so many gurus? You should accept only one guru. So I inquired about this. Then I heard, certainly you have a guru who gives you direction in spiritual life, and all the other knowledge that is in line with what your guru is teaching. From nature, you may accept lessons as long as it is in line with the parampara. We can learn lessons like the 24 gurus taught lessons to the Avadhuta Brahmana. So, Srila Prabhupada used to go for a morning walk. The first time he went for a morning walk in Golden Gate Park, Stew Lake, that is a place in America. So, actually Prabhupada used to never go out. One doctor told him that you should go for a walk every day because you are all the time sitting and speaking, either speaking management or speaking katha. So you should walk. Actually, doctor said this old man, he is not walking. That is the cause of his sickness, he said. And if he walks 1 hour a day, he will never get sick. Then the next day Prabhupada started. He asked the devotees, take me for a walk. And devotees are very happy. Oh, we are getting a chance to serve Prabhupada by showing him our beautiful different places in America. So they took him to that Golanket Park. It's a very lushy green garden, you know, filled with beautiful flowers. And there is a water bed also, lake passing. There's a beautiful bridge over it. You can cross over. There are beautiful pebbles and stones put everywhere. If you go to this Bhaktivedanta Manor, by the side of the temple, they have a very beautiful strollway. You can walk through. It's all pebbles, full of pebbles. You can walk through. And it's a green, beautiful garden. There is a beautiful lake also in the neighborhood. It was actually called Nugget Manor, property of George Harrison. He gifted it to ISKCON. So similarly, when Prabhupada was walking, he wasn't just walking. When he was going with the devotees, he asked them many questions while walking. Whatever he saw, he made a comment. And immediately connected it to Krishna consciousness. Like, you know, as soon as he came out, he saw those pebbles. He asked devotees, what do you understand from this? Naturally, devotees said, Prabhupada, these are pebbles. That I also know. But what do you learn from this? Then Prabhupada said, just like there are thousands of pebbles, and there are millions of living entities all over the universe. He said. And then he walked some distance. Like that he would do. He would say, look at the sky. What do you see? Prabhupada, there is cloud. Behind the cloud, what do you see? There is sun. So what do you learn from it? Prabhupada, this is sun behind the cloud. And then Prabhupada would say, no. Krishna is there. But because of Maya, we cannot see Krishna. Of course, the clouds can never capture the sun. The sun is far above. And the cloud is far below. But the cloud can block our vision of the sun. When you go in aeroplane, when you go above the clouds, you can clearly see the sun. When the aeroplane goes below the cloud, you can't see the sun. Similarly, when you are under Maya's custody, you can't see Krishna. And when you are above Maya, then you can see Krishna. So, in this way, Prabhupada is telling them many lessons actually. That's a very beautiful section of Leelamrita if you read. Then he was walking by, he saw some old people were playing cards, you know. Some people were catching fishes, you know. And Prabhupada lamented, just see how they are wasting their human form of life, playing cards, you know, catching fishes, talking about socio-political scheme and all that. Wasting their life. And Prabhupada said, the old dog cannot learn new tricks. That is why I came to all of you, he said, young people. Because you are understanding the philosophy and eager to practice enthusiastically. So, actually when you see an old man or old woman, what comes to your mind? You see, Prabhupada was thinking in relation to Krishna. Always. And as he went ahead, they went under a beautiful shady tree. You know, he saw there were some bird droppings and Prabhupada asked, what is this? Somebody said, Prabhupada is excreta of a bird. And Prabhupada said, you know, when Prabhupada asked the devotees, what is this? Some devotee was very carefully observing, is there any pattern or something? Any pattern or any formation? He looked very carefully, what it is. Prabhupada gave a very simple answer. He said, these birds are attached to this tree. Otherwise, they won't be eating here and living here and passing stool here. So, he taught them the Shastric principles by observing nature around. So, Prabhupada told them, this is called what? Shastra Chakshu. Shastra Chakshu. You see, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a chapter on devastating rainfall. Rainfalls come, the autumn comes. So there is a very beautiful description of the rainfall period and subsequently the autumn period also. Very beautiful chapter. Because, you know, everything is described in relation to, religion and Krishna. If you read the chapter, especially whenever every year the rainy season comes, I used to speak one lecture on that. Wherever I go, to remind myself of those examples. So, in that one example he gives, the Indradhanush, you know, the rainbow. It's very colorful, very beautiful. But the special beauty of this Indradhanush rainbow is that it has no rope, string tied to it. So you can ask a riddle to people. What is the dhanush which has no string? What is that dhanush? Indra dhanush. Not Indra's dhanush. It is rainbow. Generally nobody uses any bow without string. But what is the speciality of this rainbow? The rainbow is compared to Krishna. Because Krishna is decorated with 64 qualities. He is a very beautiful personality of Godhead. But he is not bound by the three modes, which is compared to the string. Like all of us are stretched by the three modes in this material world. They are always tying us. But the Lord is not tied. So he is compared to the Indra Dhanush. So in this way, there are many beautiful analogies given there. If you read that section. How to see the nature and learn many nice things. Actually, we'll be very inspired to apply many of those things. Like he says, the grass that is grown on the footpath, how can it grow if people are regularly walking? If people keep walking, you always will find and there will be a walking route and in between the grass won't be there. But if people are not walking through the route, then the grass comes. Similarly, the brahmanas who don't study the scriptures and who don't chant the Vedic mantras, they become like the overgrown grass. They become dull. Like that, many nice examples are there. And like farmers, they store the water and keep so that in autumn season, when the water dries up, this water could be used like a dam. Similarly, devotee conserves his energy by controlling the senses and mind. Use it in Krishna service. So, when we see nature, we should learn lessons in our practical life by observing the things in nature. Like, have you seen in the rainy season there is a flood and the fishes have a great time because they eat away all the lal chinti, you know, the red ants which are floating in water. They can't survive. So all the fishes eat them. And when autumn comes, the water dries up. And then the fishes completely dry up. They are trembling without any water. And they perish. And then all the red ants come out and they eat the fishes' body. You will find. Similarly, we are living in material nature where there is always a competition and rivalry between living entities. You know, one becomes superior, another one becomes inferior. Another time, and that party becomes superior, this becomes inferior. There is always rivalry and competition, one eating the another in material world. So the principles of material world can be observed in nature around. And we can pick up valuable lessons for our lives. Like you find the demigods and demons. At one time the demons became very powerful, isn't it? Because they worshipped Shukracharya very nicely. And headed by Bali. And then they took over the heavenly kingdom. Isn't it? And then another time the demigods were supported by Lord Vishnu and they were fed with Amrit and everything and they became more powerful. So, in this way we can observe in this world specifically the Lord's beauty in relation to a natural mountain is described here. Analogy. Here Brahma is seeing Lord Vishnu. His beautiful personality. This requires a spiritual vision to see. You know that famous verse, Yanisha Sarva Bhutanam. Yanisha Sarva Bhutanam, Tasyam Jagrati Samyami, Tasyam Jagrati Bhutani, Sanisha Pashyato Mune. See, when one wants to render service to Krishna, then he can see Krishna. And the material nature goes to the background. When one wants to enjoy, then although Krishna and Krishna's service is available, one doesn't even look towards it. Then one is looking towards the material nature with the desire to enjoy and exploit. So it all is a question of what we are looking for in our life. We get what we are looking for. If you are looking for service, we get service. Krishna's service. If you are looking for enjoyment, then we are provided with sense gratification. Prabhupada says, you know, it's not that Krishna is providing all this, you know, sense gratificatory facilities for the conditioned souls because he wants to provide them. That is not Krishna's interest. Krishna's interest is what? Sarvadharman, parityajya, give up all this chase after sense gratification and come to me. That is Krishna's interest. But despite his interest not being fulfilled by the living entity, still Krishna provides the living entity what he is demanding. Okay, because you are demanding, I am providing you. Take it, get frustrated and then come to me. Like that he provides it, like the Prabhupada says. So, in this way you will find the beauty of Krishna cannot be understood and appreciated by a materialistic eye that is anointed with the salve of hankering for sense gratification. Just like we say, eyes anointed with salve of love. Similarly, there are eyes anointed with salve of sense gratificatory pursuit. If somebody has enjoying mentality in the eyes, they cannot appreciate Krishna's tenderness, Krishna's sweetness, Krishna's softness. And they cannot appreciate it. But they will appreciate similar qualities elsewhere. Like you see, people, like one man came to our temple here. We were singing, Namamishwaram Satchit Ananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gopure Bhajamanam. So, he also sat through, and before singing that song that evening, we read out the meaning. And he heard all the meaning, and after the song was over, he met me in the office. He said, "Sir, did you observe? I am getting tears in my eyes." He said, I said, "Really? How did you get tears?" He said, "Sir, my son has brought his child from America for a short visit, 1 week to Pune. And this tender small boy, his body is so soft like butter. When I heard this song, the whole description was fitting my grandson." He said, "Exactly. You know, he also cries like this, you know, doing his hands like this. You know, he was weeping like that. You know, so I have decided to keep this copy with me. Can I keep it?" I said, "You keep this with you. Along with that, keep Krishna also with you." You know, not only your grandson. You know, so his heart is very fondly appreciating the tenderness of his grandson, you know, whom he is taking on his lap and embracing, kissing, and enjoying. But this song is all about whom? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So, then, of course, very politely I preached to him. As much politeness as I have. I don't have any politeness. Then I told him about Urdhamulam Adaha Shakam Ashwattam Prahuravyayam. You know, the Purushottam Yoga. So he said, "I am very fond of Bhagavad Gita," he said. Then I told him, "So I'll tell you something from 15th chapter. Krishna is saying, what is he saying? The roots are upwards, branches are downwards." Told him. "Do you know what is this?" He said, "Impossible. Such a tree cannot exist." Then I told him, "This material world is such a tree. Upside down tree." Krishna says, "Take the sword of knowledge and cut off this upside down tree and go to the original tree, which is a spiritual world." He says. So the original mango is in the original tree. And the imitation mango is in the upside down tree. He said it's a beautiful example. He said, because he said the mango in the water is exactly like the mango in the real tree. The only thing is, this mango cannot give satisfaction. He said, "I clearly understand this example." And I said, "All our loving relationships in the material world are like that water in the reflection. I mean, reflection mango." And he was a smart man. So he asked, "But the mango in the water doesn't give satisfaction to us. But my grandchild is giving me satisfaction," he said. "How is it?" He said, "Seems that example is not exactly fitting." I said, "It is exactly fitting. You are feeling deep satisfaction because in illusion only you can find happiness in this material world. When you are above illusion, where is happiness in this material world?" You know, as he says, you know, "Shushke nire kaha ka saraha." What is that? Vayasi gate kaha kama vikaraha shushke nire kaha kasaraha kshine vite kaha parivaraha nyate tatve
कह संसारः भज गोविन्दं भज गोविन्दं गोविन्दं भज मूढमते.
सो टेलिंग दैट दिस संसार बिकम्स वेरी अट्रैक्टिव व्हेन वन इज इन इल्यूजन बट दिस संसार becomes non-existent for a devotee who has become captivated by the tenderness and beauty of Krishna. So, yes, it's not that the samsara will not exist, it will continue to exist, but it is of no consequence to a devotee who has become attracted to Krishna's beauty. This is not to say that the children should not be treated with tenderness and love and care and affection. In fact, those who are most awakened in love for God, they would treat their children. You will find in the Shastra also many examples of great devotees. That love for Krishna also extends as love for all the living beings. You will see. That affection does not become attachment. That's the difference. How to be affectionate and not become attached? How to be detached and not become hard-hearted? This is one of the central themes of the scriptures. Actually, we should continue to shower affection without becoming attached. And what is the meaning of that? One actually sees that this tender child of mine, grandchild, he is so beautiful because he is reflecting a small trace of Krishna's unlimited beauty. That is how this child is so beautiful. You see, there are beautiful children, beautiful boys, beautiful girls, you know, beautiful old people also, isn't it? There are beautiful natural scenery, there are beautiful flowers, there is beauty in nature. But why there is beauty? Because this material nature also is the expansion of Krishna. Bhinname, Krishna says. See, if there is sweetness and beauty in the material world, it is because it is Krishna's expansion. If there are sufferings in the material world, it is because it is separated from Krishna. That is why. Nothing separate from Krishna can give us happiness. Like Prabhupada saw, while going for a morning walk, he saw that yellow grass. He asked the devotees, why this grass is yellow? Nobody could answer. They said, yes Prabhupada, we agree with you, it's yellow. But why is it yellow? See, this grass is green, this grass is yellow. Why? They didn't know. Prabhupada said, because it is disconnected from the root. Similarly, the Bhinna Prakriti is disconnected from Krishna. It is called as Bhinname. It is separate energy of Krishna. So it has no life. It is Jada, Jada Prakriti. And it only leads to suffering. It doesn't give happiness. The more the living being identifies with Jada Prakriti, if somebody thinks I am this body, they will suffer the most. And to the degree we identify with the Chaitanya and Krishna and the spiritual world, to that degree we become happy. So, this gentleman understood the philosophy, fortunately. So he didn't become upset with the analogy I gave him. So, yes, people are attracted to the material beauty without reference to Krishna. Like one devotee told Prabhupada while going in the car, Prabhupada, see how beautiful is the setting sun. And Prabhupada peeped out of the window and he saw, yes, it's beautiful, but how much more beautiful the artist who created the sun must be. He said. So immediately he helped the devotee to rise from mode of goodness to mode of pure goodness. You see? See, mode of goodness, sometimes we develop a desire for sattvic ahar. We develop a desire for living in farm community. You know, we develop a desire for be good, be nice, do good, do nice and all that. But above that, one has to see the source of everything as Krishna. Prabhupada always used to remind the devotees. One time Prabhupada and Haigriva Prabhu were walking by the side of an ocean. And then Prabhupada made a comment. Just see how vast is this ocean and how great it looks, Prabhupada said. And then Haigriva Prabhu said, yes Prabhupada, it looks like as if it's eternal, he said. And Prabhupada immediately cut him and said, nothing in this material world is eternal. He said, This ocean is not eternal, it's a temporary creation of God. So Prabhupada was never sentimental. He said, yes, while understanding things through nature, you have to know this ocean is not an eternal ocean which came by itself, but it is a creation of Krishna, which will exist for a while and it will vanish. Even big things in this world will come to vanish over a period of time, because it's a world which is temporary, ashashvatam. Explained like that. So, while observing the nature, if it is leading us to Krishna, such observation is welcomeable observation. If observing nature takes us away from Krishna, or makes us forget Krishna, then such observation is useless. So, Shastra Chakshu means to learn to see through the eyes of the Shastra. Actually, we need the eye by which we can see. I'll read one verse about the eye. He says, you know, Uddhava is asking in Uddhava Gita to Krishna, Kairva Nyayeta Lakshana. What are the Lakshanas of self-realized soul? He's asking, please tell me the symptoms. So one symptom he's saying here. See, he says here. The self-realized soul is completely detached from the material body and the material world around it. He is like a person who has awakened and arisen from a dream. With expert vision sharpened by detachment, the self-realized soul cuts all doubts to pieces through knowledge of the self and completely withdraws his consciousness from the expansion of material variety. Nanatvad vinivartate. So, nanatvad means the material variety of this material world on which all the conditioned souls have a tendency to put their eye. See, there are two ways to touch. This is also touching and this is also touching. Touching with the hand, touching with the eyes. So, nanatvad vinivartate means that a conditioned soul using his five senses is always trying to look at the objects of this world and try to extract some enjoyment through his shabda sparsha rasarupa gandha with these five things. But a self-realized soul, he has got, you see what the word he is using here is vaisharadi akshena asanga. Vaisharadi means what? Vaisharadi Aksha Asanga Shitaya Chinna Sanshayaha. This is 11.11.12. So here he is saying Vaisharadi means the expert is the most greatest expert, and Ikshaya means the vision. And what is that expert vision? The same word Vaisharadi is used for the guru also, which means the disciple gets the guru's vision, because earlier there is a word Vaisharadi used in another verse. I'll tell you that verse number also. That's a beautiful verse. Yeah, that verse is 11, 10, 13. Vaisharadi sati vishuddha buddhir dhunoti maya guna samprasutam. Here it says, by submissively hearing from an expert spiritual master, the expert disciple develops pure knowledge, which repels the onslaught of material illusion arising from three modes. Vaisharadi sa ati vishuddha, most pure knowledge available from the most greatest expert, Vaisharadi, who is Guru. So, Guru is the greatest expert. And he is giving Ati Vishuddha Buddhi. Vaisharadi is giving Ati Vishuddha Buddhi. Dhunoti Maya means what? Maya is completely repelled and cleaned. Gunasam Prasutam, arising from the Gunas. So, Maya in our life arises from the three modes all around us. And a devotee can, you know, go above Maya. How? By Vaisharadesa Ati Vishuddha Buddhi. This is 11, 10, 13. The same word Vaisharadi is used later now by Krishna here. Here he says, Vaisharadi Aksha Asangashitaya Chinna Sanshayaha Pratibuddha Iva Swapna Nanatvad Vinivartate. So Nanatvad Vinivartate means giving up the material variety, means taking our eye away from material variety and reposing it in Krishna's lotus feet. This is what is the essence of all this discussion. One should withdraw one's contemplation from material absorption, which is called abhinivesha, and make one's absorption in Krishna's lotus feet or Krishna's beauty. That's the point. Now, how to do this? You know, you see, there's a story of how once a Russian scientist, you know, he had arranged for a cage in which he had put some rats, you know. He was supplying sometimes some butter, sometimes some bread. So there were like different buttons. So you press one button, you get bread. You press another button, you get some butter. You press another button, you get some puff of hot air in that cold winter season. So these rats are going round and round. They were looking at each other. Try to press this one. Try to press that one. Press it. Like there's some puff of hot air comes. Oh, they will be jumping. Very nice. Again, press it. Very nice. Because keep on getting, he thought, let me keep on pressing again and again. Pss, 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 pss. You know, he keeps getting puff of fresh, hot air. Then another rat is pressing the other one because he's getting small pieces of makkan somebody is dropping from the top. You press it, you get little pieces of butter, you keep eating it. So, and then they pressed one, another middle button, they pressed, like that he got a shock. They got shocked, my lord, what is this? And then he went and told the other rats, hey, don't touch this, because you get a shock. So they understood it. This pole gives shock. The other buttons they give, butter and hot air. Then they all went round and round pressing the other two. But then the scientist changed the polarity now. He changed. Now this one which was giving butter started giving shock. So he was pressing for butter, looking up, he got a shock. Then he jumped, he told, hey, I thought till now this was giving me happiness. Now the very same object is giving me suffering now. You know? You see, like gulab jamun, one you eat, hey, very nice. One more, hey, very nice. Even more nice. After five, enough now. No, one more. No, you have to eat this. You scream practically. The very same things which give you happiness now become a cause of suffering. That they realized, oh really? Then they thought, okay, give up this, let's go to the other. Then they pressed that. There they got hotter. Okay, let us try this one. So in this way they were going round and round. And this scientist later on opened the door from behind, telling them, now I am opening you to the world of unlimited objects and happiness. You will not only get piece of makkan or piece of bread, you can have unlimited makkan, unlimited bread if you go out. And when you go out to enjoy the world, you will never get a shock unless you put your tail into a socket or something. You know, or you put your mouth into a socket, you will get a shock. That you have to take a trouble to get the shock. Otherwise, when you go out of the cage, you can simply eat and enjoy life. But what was most surprising was that these rats never wanted to come out. They were going round and round and round and round. Similarly, the jiva also becomes captivated by the nanatvad and refuses to do vinivartate. You see? He becomes captivated by the material variety in this world. So this is a very, that is one reason when sometimes a boy says, I am going for a job there, here, different places, I always tell them, 1 year training you take, immediately come back to Pune. No matter how good the job is outside, because unless you are in strong association, it is very difficult to preserve that clarity of thinking and, you know, discriminating eye, to not fall prey to Maya. Always hold on to lotus feet of Krishna. It requires one having lot of mercy to have that determination. It's not an easy thing. Because the tendency of a conditioned soul is to go round and round and round, you know, speculating, innovating, creating, inventing, doing something within the material world and never want to give up. You see, I know one professor who became very famous in his field. He has published tens of papers in international magazines. At one time he became so famous that he even, was called by international companies and all over the world, US and Germany and Australia, everywhere. You know, he has come up with one invention which nobody has done before, and companies are able to save crores of rupees because of that. So he's become very famous now. At the same time, he is a devotee also. So he became a devotee also. So I told him, now you are almost nearing 55 or 60. I said, why don't you get into devotion service fully? You can do a lot. You can do preaching. You are so powerful in speaking. You are so magnetically influential. Why didn't you study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, CC, nicely preach, expand? So he was telling, one thing is crossing my mind which I will honestly share with you, he said. He said, you guys, you have joined this movement 20 years ago and you have gone way ahead, and now if I come, will I be able to catch up with you? I will not be able to become as popular as you, although I am more aged than you. But in my field, I am like number one, that neither you nor anybody can catch me. And I have published so many papers everywhere, I am given red carpet welcome. So sometimes my mind says, why don't you just stay in this field only where you are there now? Why to go to devotional field where there are so many champions ahead of you having gold medals on their neck, and you will be like a rat amongst elephants, What is the use? You just see how the mind works, you see. Because we have this competitive mentality in this world. And in this way, the living entity wants to remain in this nanatvad, material variety, and doesn't want to take the eye away from material nature and put it on Krishna's lotus feet. Unless we associate with akinchana devotees. Akinchana devotees means who have become free from material dust of this material world. What is the material dust? Attraction for position and post, attraction for name and fame, attraction for influence over people, attraction for wealth and followers, these kind of things. This is actually called material dust. If one can give up the desire for popularity in the material world, once Jayadev Swami said, one would rather be a king in hell rather than be a servant in heaven, he said. Which one would you prefer? You would prefer being servant in heaven or king in hell? So, he was telling the dog, you see, if somebody is told, see, you can be a servant as a human being or you can be a leader of dogs. Sometimes people consider which one is better. It's better to be a leader. For the whole lane of dogs, I'll be the leader or what? Isn't it? So, in this way, this is actually material dust, because of which we are caught up in the material variety. So we have to take those eyes away. That is why the Bhagavatam compares those eyes which don't appreciate Krishna's beauty. They are compared to plumes of a peacock. The plumes of a peacock. Peacock has so many feathers. In all these feathers, there are many eye-like things, isn't it? But the eyes in a peacock's feather are not entangling, are they? They are actually neutral. In fact, they don't see either. They don't entangle them in cycle of birth and death. But still it is compared to plumes of a peacock, because one Chanakya Niti, one verse he says, the eyes which are not used for studying the scriptures, they are simply like wounds here. They are not eyes. He's saying two wounds here. Yeah, you have to apply some ointment to cure them. So he is saying the eyes which are not used for studying scriptures are like wounds. Similarly, this verse says those eyes which are not seeing the beauty of Krishna and appreciating it, they are like the plumes of a peacock. So actually Bhagavatam gives this type of analogies, many nice examples. Bilebato rukrama vikramanye nashan vatakarna putena rasya jihva sati dardurke vasuta. He is saying, those ear holes which are not used for hearing the Bhagavad Katha, they are like the holes of a snake. Snake makes an anthill, no? And I think it goes and lives inside. So these are compared to that. Why? Because we hear Prajalpa and we put so many snake-like desires grow up in the heart by hearing Prajalpa. So it's like snake hole, he's saying. And then he's saying, the tongue which is not glorifying Krishna, what is it like? He says it is asati, he's saying. A woman is supposed to be a chaste wife of a man, but if she runs away and runs away with other men, then she is called as asati. So the tongue which is not glorifying one's real master, Krishna calls Satvatampati. Then such a person's tongue is called as asati. Because it is unchaste, glorifying the useless subject matters of this world. Like that. Jihva, asati, dardurike, it's like the tongue of a frog, he says. Because the frog makes a croaking sound only to invite the Kala Sarpat to come and devour him. Similarly, living entity speaks Prajalpa subjects only to attract the Kala Sarpa. Kala Sarpa is the time which comes and devours him. It's like the many verses are there. About, there's another verse. Bhara param patta kirita jushtam nanamen mukundam api uttamangam shavav karavno kurute saparya. See, this verse he says, a very wealthy man is wearing a big turban on his head and is very proud. I am a great soul or whatever. So he's saying that mukut becomes a burden for him. It's like the heavy, you know, iron crown or gold crown kept on the head of a drowning man. See, somebody is drowning, he's saying, help, help, he's asking. You take a heavy crown and put on his head. He can go down very easily. Isn't it? Like that he says, Nana main mukundam. The one who is not bowing down in front of Krishna. He says, api uttamangam. Although he is having a very attractive body, standing erect like this. Similarly, he says, a woman, a wife of a very well-to-do man, she may be wearing many, many, you know, bangles on her hand. Sometimes people wear 20 bangles also. Gold and silver and bedecked with diamonds and everything. But if she doesn't use that hand for punching or cleaning the temple hall in her house, to lit up a lamp. Generally, I have seen in our homes, early morning, like about 4 o'clock, my sisters would get up, they would take a bath. Outside the house you go and you sprinkle water, put some rangoli. Actually, they began with small rangoli. Eventually, they started putting huge rangolis. And they were so powerful. In our entire lane, early morning you go at 4:30, you will find all the girls putting rangoli there. Big, big size rangoli. And they were so influential that even all the boys became attracted to learning rangoli. We had notebook after notebook, you know, learning different types of rangoli. So we became rangoli supervisors. Go around and see and tell them this step is wrong, you know, you have to connect this to this and whatever. Yeah, in the early morning, yeah. And then they would go to the puja room, and they would clean the altar. They would put rangoli there also, small one, isn't it? And then keep the necessary ingredients for puja, all those things, yeah. So, once you do this, a woman is supposed to rise early in the morning and clean up the kitchen, clean up the house, clean up the altar of the Lord and put rangoli outside the house. And actually, a woman is called as Griha Lakshmi. She is like the Lakshmi at home. A woman can bring happiness to everybody. To the husband, to the father-in-law, to the mother-in-law, to the brother-in-law, sister-in-law. Because women are endowed with special qualities like tenderness and nurturing and nourishing nature. So they can act like the mother Lakshmi, who is the mother of the whole universe. So the house is also a small universe. So they can make the home a very happy place. And making house happy means keeping Krishna in the center. Like Draupadi is telling many things to Satyabhama, you will hear the nature of a woman, qualities of a woman. So, but if a woman is wearing lot of kankanova, he says, she is wearing lot of kankan in her hands, and she's showing everybody, look at me, see my beauty, you know. See, I don't think anybody wears and shows nowadays like that. Those days are gone now. Generally speaking, one generation before, women would wear Even I have seen my mother wearing, you know, this diamond earrings, and diamond nose ring and all that. Nowadays people don't wear. But in Bhagavatam it is said, they wear a lot of bangles. But if they are not using their hand for serving the Lord, then it is called a Shavav Karav. Shavav Karav means, it's like the hand of a dead body, it says. Very dangerous shlokas, huh? Shavav Karav no kurute suparya. Which means basically these verses are saying, we should use our body for glorifying Krishna. There is another verse which says, like once a husband brought a beautiful natni for a wife. And you know natni? Natni means the nose ring. So this lady went to her neighbor ladies and showed, hey, come here. And she was talking very much. Everybody understood why she is calling everybody and talking, because the nose ring was very prominent. It was very big and prominent. Immediately, naturally, everybody will ask her, hey, who gave you the nose ring? It is so beautiful. Then she said, my husband brought from Dubai or whatever, you know. She was saying. So, a poet is asking, you are glorifying your husband who gave you the natni, but you forgot God who gave you the nose. Is it not? Without nose, can you wear the natni? Isn't it? So, see, the goal of these verses is what? Don't forget Krishna. Don't become preoccupied with temporary things of this world. That is the whole point. It's not that a woman cannot glorify her husband. But our supreme husband is Krishna for everybody, every living being. So, in this way, these verses are talking about, you see, in Puranjana Upakhyan, Narada tells one verse, Khadhyota, uses the word Khadhyota, like our eyes are like the moth which enters into the blazing fire and gets roasted. Similarly, our eyes want to see colorful objects, glaring objects, glittering objects of this world, and they carry us away from Krishna. There is one verse like that in Puranjana Upakhyan also. You see, we have to value these eyes Krishna has given us. You see, there are creatures which have only one sense active. Do you know that? For example, there are some birds which can see but which cannot smell. They don't have any smell at all. Yeah. There are some, like for example, bumblebees are considered to be superior to the crows. Why? Because they can smell. They have the ability to smell. They smell and find out the honey. Like that. So each animal or bird or insect you will find, there are some animals, you know, which can recognize an object only by touching, by no other way. Like you know this bat? The bat doesn't have eyes. How when it is coming, it doesn't hit against a wall? Because it has got ultrasonic, you know, rays coming out. It hits the wall and then it ripples and goes back. Like that. It doesn't have the eyes to see. So many of the creatures don't have eyes, or they don't have nose, or they don't have ears. Like I heard, snake also doesn't have ears, but it senses the vibration. If you walk on the ground, especially if you are walking on a forest route, you are a little afraid of snakes, then you can walk with a thudding sound. Boom, boom, boom. Like this you walk, no snakes will come near you. Because they can sense the vibration. They can sense the vibration and they won't come near. Otherwise they don't have ears to hear the sound. They say like that. So, every creature has some limitation. Although sometimes, you know, foolishly, a poet may write poem, how nice it will be if I can fly like a butterfly, and if I can swim like a fish, you know. Actually, you may think you will be happy because you are thinking I will have all the avenues of human body and I will fly. That is not possible. You know, yeah, they have very limited ability. Only in a human body, all the five senses are active. We can see, we can smell, we can taste, we can hear, we can touch. Why? God has given us all the five senses active so that we can take full advantage of Krishna consciousness in human body. Like we can hear Bhagavatam class. We can see the darshan of the Lord. You see, there is kudarshan, there is sudarshan. The difference between the two is, when Krishna looks at us, it is called sudarshan. When we look at the murti with the jada buddhi, that is kudarshan. You see? So, Sudarshan is possible by a human being. Imagine if a cat or a dog were to come into the temple hall, they may not be able to recognize who is this Radha Kunjabihari, the lordships, because they don't have the senses. Like a dog sometimes sees a car and runs behind a car thinking it is like some big animal like an elephant or something. You know, Prabhupada says that. He cannot see the driver inside the car. Similarly, foolish human beings cannot see the Atma Tattva in the body. Vimudha na anupashyanti pashyanti jnana chakshushaha. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in 15th chapter. Vimudha living beings cannot see the Atma in the body. Like a dog cannot see the driver in the car. Like that he is saying. So when we have the five senses alert, we should take advantage of these five senses to maximize our Krishna input. That's why it is given. But there is also equally a risk involved. Because all our five senses are active, we can use them to exploit and enjoy the material resources. Is it not true? And it can become a great source of trouble and disturbance for us. Very same thing. So if you know why Krishna has given us all the five senses complete in human body, now like here Prabhupada is saying here, towards the end, one who is attracted by Param, the Supreme, is no longer attracted by anything inferior. One who is therefore attracted by the beauty of the Lord is no longer attracted by the beauty of material nature, although he does not minimize its beauty. So a devotee recognizes the beauty of material nature, but he knows that it is inferior to Krishna's beauty. He knows that. Like when Dhanurdas saw Lord Ranganath, especially when Ramanuja showed him, the Lord showed him his real form. Archavagra is also the real form. But still, Lord gave him a very special darshan by which Lord captivated him by showing his Kamalanayanam, the lotus-like eyes. So if one is not attracted to the lotus-like eyes of the Lord, then one may consider somebody else's eyes to be like lotus eyes in this world. Like a man may consider a woman's eye to be lotus eyes. Like once Isolna Jayadutt Swami was telling that one brahmachari who wanted to get married, and he asked him why. Because he said that particular girl has such a soft feet. You know, he just looked at her feet, which was very soft and beautiful. So he fell in love with that feet. Then he got married, and Maharaj said, I was so surprised. How is this possible? Krishna's feet are even more soft. Even all the gopis are praying in Vrindavan. What are they saying? Chalaseyad braja charayan pashun nalina sundaram natate padam. So they are saying, my dear Krishna, your feet are so tender and soft, like a pinkish lotus. When you walk through the jungle, you know, you may put your feet against the pebbles and stones and it may prick you or pain you. Thinking of this, our hearts are feeling great pain. So, one who is not able to appreciate the tenderness of Krishna's body will look for alternative tenderness in the material world. You see? But understanding the beauty of Krishna is not a mere exercise of knowing it from the scripture. You see, Narada Muni is describing the beauty of the super soul to Dhruva. Kapila is describing the beauty of super soul to Devahuti. You read that. Brahma is describing the beauty of the Lord's darshan that he had. First he saw the pinkish lotus feet of Lord Vishnu after a long time of tapasya. You see, here comes the important point. Brahma in the dawn of creation was sitting on the lotus, but he could not see anything all around. He saw only darkness everywhere. That is compared to ignorance that we have due to our eyes tinged with avidya. We can't see anything. Then he did tapasya. At the end of tapasya, he saw the pinkish lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Then he slowly raised his eyes. Then he saw the dazzling golden dhoti of Lord Vishnu. Then he saw the jeweled belt on Lord's hips. Then he saw the beautiful Kaustubha Mani on Lord's chest with a beautiful necklace. And the Lord's body, hands, arms looking like bluish sapphire shining. And Lord was wearing armlets and bracelets and beautiful necklaces. And then finally he saw the Lord's beautiful smiling face and with semi-closed eyes with Lord's Mukut and Lord's Kundal and Lord's lotus-like eyes and smiling countenance. So when he saw this darshan, immediately he said, "Oh, this is Lord Hari," he said. Actually, he had forgotten the Lord totally. But by penance, again he could revive his Krishna consciousness. And Lord Hari immediately came in front of him and picked up Brahma's hands and he shook his hands. That was the first handshake of the universe. After which you go to every company, everybody is shaking hands now, everywhere. So, originally the Lord shook the hand of Brahma. And why did he shook? He wanted to congratulate him. "My dear son, you are a success. You surrendered to me completely and you followed my instruction. Now you have got my darshan. Now I have given you all wisdom necessary for the creation." So in this way, darshan is not achieved just like that. One has to perform severe penance to see this beauty. Actually, most people in the world, 99% of the population, is satisfied with the temporary, perishable, changing beauty. Like somebody becomes attracted to a small child or a man for a woman and a woman for a man. And they become contented with some cinema hero or heroine. Even all of us were attracted to some hero or heroine, isn't it? Like in my college days, one boy would do Agarbatti show, he would do for Bruce Lee, you know. Every day, yeah. Every morning he would show Agarbatti to Bruce Lee and then, like that he would be doing, you know, karate, you know. Now he would break a brick, you know, every morning, you know. Yeah, you know. Yeah. People are attracted to so many heroes and heroines, you see. And their world is so small, like a frog in the well, you see. Some people keep photos of actors and actresses in their books, notebooks, time to time they keep seeing them. But you will see, these are all, you know, perishable heroes and heroines. They'll be finished with the passing of time. So Krishna is called Nayakanam Shiroratnam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. He is the supreme hero of all heroes. So, we are fortunate because we have been introduced to Shastras and the guidance of the Parampara to systematically, steadily develop attraction for Krishna. By chanting the holy name, you know, our heart will become cleared of the anarthas. Then instead of becoming attracted to cricket heroes and cinema heroes, we will become attracted to the real hero, Krishna. So in this way, Brahma is very beautifully describing here the form of Lord Vishnu in comparison with a beautiful mountain. Kantraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.